He once referred to himself as a faunal, F-A-U-N-A-L, faunal naturalist, a man who vastly prefers a camera to a gun. Now, a lot of hunters called him oversensitive, but he in turn called the ordinary sportsman a vigorous, unintelligent butcher. He said the stuffed head of a butchered beast represents the owner's money rather than his prowess. He said such trophies make the owner look absurd. He scorned the wearing of elk's teeth on watch chains, and he condemned the killing of birds to decorate women's hats. He once had a friend whose profession it was to kill bear and mountain sheep for their pelts. He called his friend, his own friend, a ruthless butcher of defenseless animals. He called him cowardly and contemptible and wicked. He said that what his friend was doing would someday be considered a criminal act when people have awakened to the facts, he said. And then after he'd thoroughly denigrated and humiliated his professional fur hunter friend, he offered any amount of money that it would take to set him up in another line of work. An avid conservationist, he was always quoting other conservationists. He was preaching, for example, that the destruction of forests and of forest life ranked among the first of forbidden sins. I guess you'd call him a bleeding heart, though for that quality, he has long since been forgotten. There is something for which you will remember him, a gentle legacy, which has since turned the lives of children everywhere to a new appreciation of wildlife? Maybe. See, he'd been a career military officer. He was not unaccustomed to killing. In fact, November of 1902, he was on a hunting expedition in the deep woods of Mississippi, and it was late in the afternoon. The party had pitched camp. A companion went for a walk in the woods, and there, whining piteously by the stump of a tree, was a bear cub, which apparently had become separated from its mother. Well, somebody in the hunting party roped the young bear, led him resisting into the camp. He said, "I've found a bear for y'all to shoot." Well, the ex-army colonel, he froze with revulsion. It was in that instant, and he later said all at once, that the insanity of killing and the blindness of those who would kill struck him like a thunderbolt. And through clenched teeth he responded, no, he certainly would not shoot that bear cub. And the subsequent dressing down that he addressed to his companion made sufficient noise to be heard all the way to the next day's newspapers. I said all the way to the next day's newspapers. The newsworthiness of this incident was derived from the fact that he, a man who had refused to kill a defenseless bear cub, had been well known as a crusty, virile veteran of many safaris, as a big game hunter. And you remember him as the 26th president of the United States. Yet it was that incident in the backwoods of Mississippi, one November day in 1902, which inspired toy manufacturers all over the world to honor his name, Teddy Roosevelt, and the gentle legacy he left to children everywhere by the tender heart you never knew is the teddy bear. Now, you know the rest of the story.